Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
Whose turn is it?
Your turn, I think.
We should keep a list of that.
We should.
Or just figure it out as we go every time. I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever. So far. I just realized that I said I'm Troy way too close to talking about whose turn it is, so now I can't cut out whose turn it is. So this is going to be the first episode that doesn't start with me pronouncing my name. Although, MC, did you know, best animated shows ever so far trivia, there is an episode where I do not start out. There's a previous episode that does not start with me saying I'm Troy, because in it I say my name is Troy, and I listened to that episode and I was like, what? That's not what I say. It was very confusing.
That is weird. I did not know that.
This is the show where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show eventually. And also go off on strange tangents. I think this is might be a record for tangents. But anyway, today, MC, we're talking about Gargoyles. And I'm very excited about it. Gargoyles is a show I remember absolutely loving when I was a kid. I would have been 5 years old when this first aired, which is probably, honestly, a little young for the target audience for this show. But I remember absolutely loving it when it came out. It's so good. Or I guess I'm not supposed to talk about my ranking yet. It was so good in my nostalgic memory.
I remember watching this show as a kid as well. I actually had figurines from this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they'll bootleg or what, but they look pretty much exactly as I remember and as the characters look in the show.
Yeah, the character designs in this is one of the real strong suits, I think, is they have, you know, listen, we just watched the Ninja Turtles. I'm not here to throw shade on the Ninja Turtles. I love the Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtle character designs for the turtles themselves, not very distinct. It's just, there's the blue one, and there's the orange one, and then there's the red one, and then there's the purple one, and that's all that makes them distinct. Then you go over to Gargoyles, and it's like, oh my gosh, every single one of these characters is so cool and unique, and there's the big, like, muscular one, and then there's the little wiry one, and then there's the big fat boy, and then there's there's the girl, which, I mean, that's kind of a lame way to distinguish a character, is just, she's the girl. It'd be good if there was maybe another girl.
There's, like, the old grizzled one.
And oh, the old grizzled one is so good.
Pterodactyl-looking dude.
Uh-huh. And then there's the dog.
Yep. And listen, there's also the leader.
Folks, if you haven't... That was the big buff one. He was the very first one, I said. If you haven't watched Gargoyles in a while, we're not being, like, horribly pejorative by not knowing their names. They don't have names in the first episode. So it's not our fault, okay? You go talk to Greg Wiseman about the fact that we don't know what any of their names are, because it's his fault, not our fault.
The only one who does is Goliath, who is the leader, the big buff guy.
Mm-hmm.
The old grizzled guy is really good as well.
Old grizzled guy is so good. He was the one that I didn't remember. Like, all the others, they showed up and I was like, yep, there's that one. Uh-huh. And then there's that one. And then he showed up and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about old grizzled gargoyle. Old grizzled gargoyle is very good. MC. We're not ready to talk about the show yet. Stop trying to get us on track. I have to tell you about behind-the-scenes stuff. In this case, I do want to tell you about Greg Wiseman, who was the creator and producer of the show for the first 66 episodes. And it's only 78 episodes long, so he was there pretty much the whole time. The show ran from October 24th, 1994, through February 15th, 1997. And then continued on in 18 issues of comic books, which were also made by Greg Wiseman. So he left the show for the last couple episodes, but then continued the story in comic book form, which...
Oh, nice.
While he was at Disney, before working on Gargoyles, he worked on Darkwing Duck, he worked on Gummy Bears, he worked on Tailspin, He worked on the Aladdin cartoon. He worked on the Mighty Ducks cartoon. This dude has a pretty good pedigree at Disney. And those are literally all shows that I want to watch. Of that list, Darkwing, Gummy Bears, Tailspin, Aladdin, and Mighty Ducks. What's your top? Just off the hip.
Gummy Bears, probably.
It's got to be Darkwing Duck for me. I think Gummy Bears is maybe... I might be totally wrong on this. But hey, this is only a podcast about every animated show ever. You can't expect us to be experts about every animated show ever. I think Gummy Bears was a little before my time. I feel like it started maybe like when I was like 3 years old or something. So it was like before I was really getting absorbed into cartoons. But maybe I'm wrong. But man, Darkwing Duck. Oh, so good.
It'll be really interesting to see what Disney does with their new, like, network and stuff. Like, how they have their whole streaming system coming up soon. I really hope they bring back some cartoons.
Understanding is that their plan for Disney Plus is to put pretty much everything on it. So unless there's licensing rights, I think they're basically going to end up putting everything on there, which means hopefully we'll get like an easy way to watch Darkwing Duck. Because right now, the only way I can watch Darkwing Duck is by buying DVDs that Young Troy bought off of eBay, not understanding what the concept of a bootleg was. And they are very bad and very low quality rips of the episodes with very bad menus in between. It's not a pleasant way to watch Darkwing Duck. And that's currently, I think, the only way that I can. After he worked at Disney, he went on to work at DreamWorks and a couple other places and worked on just a couple of other shows that you may have heard of in the process. So he kind of bounced around for a while after this. He worked on things like the Men in Black cartoon. He worked on the Hercules cartoon. He worked on Roughnecks, the Starship Troopers Chronicles, which I didn't know existed, but it does. He worked on Buzz Lightyear and Star Command. Kim Possible, The Batman, Bionicle Mask of Light. He's worked on all kinds of stuff. He directed the straight-to-DVD sequel of Atlantis, which is called Atlantis Milo's Return.
Okay, I can vouch for all of these things except the Bionicle. Like, they're all really good, like, TV shows and movies and stuff.
This is a good list of stuff. Do you know the show 3x3 Eyes? It's an anime.
No.
That's the only one I came across on here that I was like, I don't even have any idea what that is. But he directed the English dub of 3x3 Eyes. So he's even got a foot in the anime world. This dude has done all kinds of stuff. It's really crazy. I mean, it's just how many good things he's done. He produced Young Justice, MC.
Oh my God. I really like that show as well.
Young Justice.
Is that on our list?
So, here's the question. Is Young Justice part of the DC animated universe? Do we have to watch the DC animated universe? I think it's an aside. I don't think it is part of that.
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a separate thing from the DC universe. Because didn't we list all of the things for the DC universe? And I don't think that was in it.
Well, you know, there's only one way that we're going to find out, MC.
Is this where we put in a jingle?
This is where we put in a jingle.
There was a guy named Troy Dunham. He did some answers, how would he find them? Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that person, Google that place, Google it all, cause there is no place to remember any reason, remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die, yeah, I'm gonna die, yeah, you're gonna die, yeah, Troy, you're gonna die.
I really need to get a button to play that jingle instead of just doing it in my head. Let's see. DC animated universe TV shows. The DC Animated Universe media includes Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, The New Batman Adventures, Batman Beyond, Static Shot, Zeta Project, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited. We could jump straight to Young Justice. It's not part of the DCAU.
Nice.
I have seen exactly one episode of Young Justice, so you might need to watch Young Justice.
I've seen at least one season.
There's the third season currently going on the DC app. We might need to watch Young Justice. Hey, MC.
Yes.
We've switched podcasting hosts. I don't think you had any idea that we did you?
No. Perfect. None at all.
That's good. That means the transition went well. But the new host really wants to put, like, ad breaks in the show. What do you think about that?
Ad breaks?
Yeah, like...
I'm fine with it.
It put in a little commercial, and then if somebody, like, clicked on it or whatever, then they'd send us, like, 12 cents or something.
I'm fine with that.
All right.
I don't really need the 12 cents. You can keep the 12 cents for now.
We'll be back to talk about Gargoyles, Season 1, Episode 1, Awakening, right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Evan, and I sure enjoy me some podcasts.
Wow,
this podcast sure is enjoyable.
But sometimes, life has a little bit more pegged on for you than what you thought.
Oh man, is that a missile?
I'm okay.
ThoughtsCast, part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Podcast Network.
Hey, MC.
Yeah, Troy.
How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing great. I've just started my long weekend.
That's good. You know what would make your long weekend fantastic?
Alcohol?
Yes, that, and also hearing from some of our listeners. We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page.
So you told me this the other day. I had no idea. This announcement is really new. Because not even I knew about this a week ago.
Even MC is very hazy on the topic. And not just because of the hazy IPA that he's drinking.
Actually, this one's not hazy. The one I had last week was the hazy IPA. This is just an XPA.
Is that an extra PA? Okay, anyway. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast, and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.
Thank you. Now, see, here's the problem with potentially doing an ad break in the middle of our show. I don't know how to return from an ad break.
And we're back.
We are back to talk about Gargoyles, Season 1, Episode 1, Awakening, Part 1. That's right, this show does kick off with a five-part episode series, which was later released on home video in a condensed format as Gargoyles, the Animated Movie. So that's pretty cool. But we're not here to talk about all that. We're just here to talk about Season 1, Episode 1. MC, take away.
So we pretty much start off with a title sequence. Like, it opens up and it says Awakening. And we pan up and we see some gargoyles. And titles are running. And all of a sudden, there's a storm on top of a building.
Like a very localized storm on top of a building.
Yeah, it looks like it's New York. I can't... It is in New York, I'm pretty sure. And then bits and pieces start falling off this building. And all the pedestrians start running. A taxi crashes. The police show up. And there's a woman cop who's like, something's going on there. And it's like, yeah, it's like a war or a party or something they're talking about. And then more debris falls and a fire hydrant gets busted at one point.
It's like just chaos. Fire hydrant.
Yeah, it's just fire hydrant. It's just chaos. And then we cut back to Scotland in the 10th century.
Before we cut back, I have one important note about New York, modern day, 90s. Future? I think it's a little in the future. Anyway, did you notice the stylization of the police cars in New York? Because they are my favorite kind of police car, where they are bright, 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 bright blue on the bottom, and then a white top. I think that's the coolest kind of police car. Until the detective, who I don't think we really get her name. I think maybe she says her name as she hops out of the car, but I didn't make note of it. She pulls up in like a red Cadillac that is styled the same as the police cars. So it's bright, 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 bright red on the bottom and then white on the canopy with police sirens on the top. And I was like, oh man, I thought I liked those bright blue police cars until you pulled up in the bright red Cadillac version of police cars, because that is off the hook.
I'm not sure if you've seen Australian police cars.
I have not. Cue the music.
This is gonna be fun.
Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long.
So Troy's just Googled them.
What, can you say that again, MC? What am I doing?
You Googled them.
Googled them. Okay. I thought you were trying to say Googling and your mouth just broke down in the process. I was
might have.
How many beers have you had?
None. I haven't had any beers. What are you talking about? It's all tequila and whiskey.
Together? Don't do that.
At different times. I had tequila earlier, and then I mostly had whiskey. Honey whiskey.
So, Australian police cars. I'm seeing, like, cool like, sports car styling. They've got those body kits to make them look like lowriders. I'm seeing a lot of orange and yellow accents to go with them. Really bright colors. And just blue checkers everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So many blue checkers.
Yeah. Put orange at the end of whatever you searched.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to get a real surprise, because there's some unmarked police cars. Or, like, semi-marked police cars. They're, like, an orange color.
So if you see them from the front, you can't tell they're police cars. But then on the side, checker pattern.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. Listeners, write in with your favorite country's police cars. This is fun. I like, just police car design is fascinating to me.
It's ridiculous, to be honest. But yeah,
they go tweet this image with no context.
But yeah, we're in Scotland in the 10th century, and there seems to be some war going on. There's like Viking raiders attacking a castle, and there's discussion about it becoming nighttime and people being afraid of the gargoyles that just look like statues at the moment. There's a captain guard or something who's like, deal with the catapults or deal with me, and scares off some underlings back to their position on the wall. And then the leader of the Vikings is like, they're just statues.
The captain of the guard is like, oh, it's going to be night soon, and then we'll have some real fun. And you're like, whoa, yeah. Okay, crazy.
Yeah, and then the Viking leader's, like, talking to his men and, like, they're just statues. I don't see anything of flesh and blood. Let's get in there and take this. And if they are real, the riches are worth it. And then they go attack the castle wall.
Flawed theory, sir, because if they are real, you're gonna die. And so how can the riches be worth it if you're gonna die? That doesn't seem worth it, no matter how many the riches are.
Yeah, I agree. And he gets up to the top of the tower there, where Goliath is still in rock statue form. And as he gets to the top, he looks over and it's sun setting, and he's like, come on, man, we've got it. And then Goliath turns into flesh and blood.
Dude, the way that they turn is so cool, where, like, the stone around their body just starts to crack. And so, here's the thing. This is going to date this episode a little bit, but I already dated the episode by posting a picture of an Australian police car on our Twitter account. The Geek to Geek podcast just had an episode come out where they talked about raising butterflies. And I've just made the connection that that's basically what happens with the gargoyles, is that every morning the sun comes up and they wrap themselves in a little stone cocoon. Just it secretes out of their skin, just like mushy goo that turns into rock, and they turn into stone. And then come nightfall, they burst out of their cocoon, and so all the stone around them cracks and shatters and breaks, and then they pop out, and then there's a gargoyle inside.
Yep, pretty much. That's exactly what happens. And the Viking leader is being held up by one arm by Goliath, and he decides to pull his sword and swing it at him and cuts his hand. And he's like, they're flesh and blood, lads. Let's just attack them.
Yeah, wait. We could use our swords. Oh, good idea, Captain. We haven't thought of that.
And then a fight ensues. We're introduced to many of the different characters of gargoyles. Their strange quirks and... we really focus on the kind of chubby gargoyle, really, to begin with in this scene. Because his scene, like, lingers a bit, and then he goes off at some point and gets some meat. But this is when we see the old grizzled guy take on a whole bunch of the Viking warriors and take him out. And then Goliath shows up and he's like, watch your back, old man.
Of the gargoyles here, I think you're right that in this episode, obviously we get the most with Goliath and his second command, who we'll meet in a moment. But of the kind of three side ones, we've got little scrawny one, big fat one, and pterodactyl face. Of those three, big fat one's the one that we get the most screen time with and the most personality from, because he's, you know, he's big and fat, and they make fat jokes about how he's eating all the time, which I don't know, maybe not the height of comedy, but it worked for Little Troy. There was a scene that was cut, apparently, where one of those three, I think it's the little scrawny one, goes and inspects the catapults that the Vikings are using. Like, he's like, oh man, check out these machines that they made. These are so cool. And that's relevant because then later he becomes the Donatello of the group. I think it's little scrawny one. It might be tearing out the face, but I think it's little scrawny one is the Mike or the Donatello of the group.
Maybe I can't remember, but
but they ended up having to cut that for time, which is unfortunate because we don't really get a whole lot of personality from anyone except for the one who is like, instead of fighting the battle, I'm gonna go steal a turkey leg off of this buffet spread that they set up for refugees in the castle walls.
Yeah, and there's some interaction with the refugees and knocking out of a Viking warrior.
Then, a little kid is watching, and the little kid refugee is like, "This is so cool." That becomes and relevant later.
Then we come back to the head Viking, and he sort of gets caught by the watchdog gargoyle.
Yeah, which is... It opens up so many questions for me about the gargoyle species, because this gargoyle is definitely a dog. Like, the other gargoyles are
He's completely
people.
Feral.
But not... Like, well, not completely. He's, I mean... Like,
he's trained,
only as much as,
but
like,
he doesn't
the bat
speak.
Hound. But he does not speak. He does not speak. And the watchdog is, like, back in the Viking into a, like, tower. And then out of the tower comes Marina Sirtis, the gargoyle. Did you know
the
it's
lady
Marina Sirtis?
Gargoyle.
Did you realize that?
What?
It's spoilers for when we talk about voice actors. That's Marina Sirtis. That's Deanna Troi from Star Trek is the lady gargoyle. I was wrong. Riker is not the lead gargoyle. I was incorrect when I said that at the end of our Turtles episode. But Deanna Troi is the second in command gargoyle. So I was kind of close in a weird way.
But yeah, he gets his butt whooped, the Viking leader. The Vikings all get chased out of the castle. And we get a scene with Goliath and the head guard, who's like, "We all owe you our lives." And then it cuts to a party of noble people.
First, he says, "We all owe your lives," and Goliath says, "As we owe you ours every day," like making it clear that Goliath understands, like, "Hey, the only reason we're here is because you protect us when we're in a stone chrysalis form." But also what I like about that scene is there are like 25 gargoyles on this like rooftop or wherever where they're hanging out with the guard, and the camera only zooms in on fat one, skinny one, pterodactyl face, the dog, the girl, and Goliath. The camera like there's so many gargoyles on the roof, and the camera's like, "Let's look at these six people. No reason at all. Anyway."
Yeah, that's not foreshadowing for the whole series or anything.
Oh, and Old Grizzled Gargoyle. I forgot about Old Grizzled Gargoyle. Yeah. Seven gargoyles and a guard dog. Guard dog. MC.
Yeah.
He's a guard dog. Like a guard dog, but a guard dog.
Yeah. I get it. There's an extra G in there somewhere.
Garg dog. Garg dog.
Yep. But essentially, this cuts into like a party scene, I guess, for medieval Scotland. There's nobility, and there's a couple of people there joking about how the chief of the guards might as well be a gargoyle himself because of how he acts, but they make it sound like a bad thing.
It's so rude. Those gargoyles just saved your castle, you dinguses.
But yeah, then we get a confrontation with a couple of the noble people. I'm not sure if one of them's a noble person or just like a wizarding sort of person or a druid or a cleric or something.
The super blonde haired dude?
Yeah.
Listen, I haven't seen this show in a long time. I'm pretty sure that dude is still alive in modern day New York and is a villain
for
gargoyles.
Yeah.
The Lucius
I'm fairly sure as well.
Mother Effa.
And I'm not even sure about the princess or noble lady. She's like very racist and calls the gargoyles monsters and orders them out of her hall.
MC,
and
did you notice that it wasn't just people in this dining hall? I want to get MC, remind future Troy that he needs to insert like sound to play in the background here while I read this really pedantic trivia note from the Gargoyles wiki page, okay?
Okay.
Sharp-eyed viewers will note several dogs roaming through the Great Hall during the banquet scene. While true to medieval custom, it also adds a nice touch in displaying hypocrisy on Princess Catherine's part when she objects to Goliath and Demona's presence with the words, "to allow beasts in the dining hall." Originally, it was intended to immediately follow up Catherine's words with a scene in which one of the dogs proceeded to help himself to food from someone's plate to make her hypocrisy all the clearer. But unfortunately, that scene was not well enough animated to appear in the finished product.
I didn't notice the dogs, although I thought there might have been some near the fireplace at some point.
I didn't notice them either, but she racist is the point.
Yeah, and she calls them monsters. Then Goliath has a whole speech to his second-in-command, the Lady Gargoyle, about not acting like humans because they hate what they fear. And he has a whole not giving into your anger sort of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain of the guards is like, you're too good for us. You should just leave. Well, is that this bit?
Not quite yet, because Lucius Malfoy looks at his spell book, and then we see a hooded figure riding out of to the Viking camp, and we don't know why. And the hooded figure is like, "I can give you a way in," or something.
Yeah.
And then the next day is when I think they're like, "Man, you're too good for us." And Goliath's like, "It's cool. You're tight, homie. I'm gonna go chase away those Vikings for you, because they're on the run." And Goliath's like, "I can make sure that they don't come back." And Marina Sirtis is like, "I'm gonna go with you." And he's like, "Nah, you and I are one. But I want you to stay here and keep things under control."
And then we get a scene
with
the side characters, essentially, of the entire series.
You mean Michelangelo, around. Raphael, and Donatello?
Oh, and the garg dog.
And the garg dog.
Yeah. He's a garg and they're dog. Messing around, and the kid comes up, and he's like all interested, asking questions. And this is where we learn they don't actually have names.
Yeah. They're like, other than Goliath, we don't have names. And the kid's like, "Well, then what do you call each other?" And Pterodactyl Face says, "Friend?" And I was like, "Oh, that's so sweet."
Yeah.
And then the mom comes up.
Yeah, and
she's like, "Yo, I'm racist." And the gargoyle is like, "Hey, don't be racist." And she's like, "Oh, I'm pretty racist."
And then it's and like, "Well, if we're going to be monsters, why don't we just act like them?" And then...
Yeah.
Then the fat one's like, "Are we getting attacked again?" And he's just, like, piling up food.
It's not the best look that they're like, "Well, if this racist lady thinks that we're bad, let's be bad." Like, come on, boys, you're better than that. And there's a commercial break. And then Goliath and, I think, Marina Sirtis land. And they're like, "Yo, stop it. Stop it." And Goliath's like, "Go to the rookery and don't come out till I get back," which is like where there's gargoyle eggs?
Question yeah, I'm mark? Pretty sure they're gargoyle eggs because
I have a lot of
questions.
They
say, "I haven't been down here since I've hatched."
Yeah. And Marina Sirtis is like, "Come on, Goliath, it was the human's fault." And he has a great line where he says, "No matter who is at fault, I can't condone fighting between their people and ours," which I'm like, okay. That's, I mean, fighting for the sake of fighting, which is kind of what they were doing, where they were like, "Well, let's just scare these people." Not a good look, gargoyles. You did a bad job.
But, then he talks down to the Lady Gargoyle, and him and the old grizzled gargoyle head off to scare the Vikings, but they don't really find anyone. And then we get
find just the horses. There's like one guy leading all the horses so that it looks like there's a bunch of people leading.
Yeah.
And they're like, where are all the people?
But there's also a scene down in the rookery and the fat guy eats some slime off the wall. And this is where we get the line of, I haven't been down here since I hatched. And yeah, I don't think that they find anyone in the morning, and they're on a cliff and the sun comes up and they turn into stone. The old guy and Goliath.
Wait, MC, they find all the horses, and it's like, oh man, if they were able to track the horses here, then they might have been able to track the joys, and that would lead them back home.
That's
in Star Wars. MC, in Star Wars, they find the Jawas, and they've been all shot up, and Luke Skywalker says, but if they were able to track them here, they might be able to track the joys, and that would lead them back home. And it's like, in my opinion, the worst line delivery in all of Star Wars is Luke Skywalker going, home. And I don't know why, but that line has been burned into my brain since I was a little kid, where I'm like, why does he say it so weird? And then I grew up and I'm like, oh, because he's just realized that his whole family's probably dead. So that's probably why he says that weird, but it's always stuck out to me. Go ahead.
The Vikings attack at dawn this time, mm-hmm. rather than dusk. And as all the defenders are at the wall, trying to defend the wall, their arrows...
bowstrings break and stuff. They've all been sabotaged.
And then someone opens up the gates for the Vikings to just come in. And we just see arms and a shadow.
Lucius Malfoy, I know it was you. And see, I'm going to be honest, I didn't realize it was Lucius Malfoy the first time I watched this. I didn't realize it was Lucius Malfoy the second time I watched this. I only realized that it was Lucius Malfoy doing all this betraying while we've been recording. This is live reactions to me realizing, oh man, it's that Lucius Malfoy dude.
Yeah, and the captain of the guard is pretty much set up because he looks like him at this point. And that's when we realized the arms that we saw were the guard captains. And you see him kidnapping the princess. Yeah, and then we get a scene of the castle sacked. Oh, no, wait. I don't think it is Lucius Malfoy doing all this bad stuff. Because this captain protects the gargoyles. He just sort of let them in, I guess.
Well, you're right, because the captain does... maybe it is the captain. The captain is bad. I forgot that. I just got to my notes where it says in all capital letters, the captain is bad. And that's right. And then he's talking to the Viking dude. I'm so confused. And the captain says, why would you betray your own time?
I'm not 100% convinced it's him. I still think it might be Lucius Malfoy.
The intrigue runs deep. I think they're both betrayers. I think that Lucius Malfoy was like, we can get him in the gates. And the captain of the guard was like, listen, just take all the people and don't hurt the gargoyles. And the Viking's like, yeah, totally. Except for I'm just going to smash up all these gargoyles real quick. Because the captain's like, hey, please don't smash up the gargoyles. And the Viking's like, nah, I'm gonna. And then I think he like throws the captain off the wall or something. Or threatens him with a mace. I don't remember. But he definitely
threatens him with the mace. Yeah. And then starts smashing the gargoyles. And then it's...
To be clear, smashes up the gargoyles, killing them. Hey, kids, how's your Saturday morning? How about some light genocide?
Oh, here's the best thing. Like, it's very clear that the gargoyles have killed a ton of these Vikings as well, because they mention it, that they've had heavy losses.
Defending their home in battle?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, these... there's a lot of death in this first episode.
That's true. That's true. This was the cartoon aimed at older audiences. So, yeah, but they established that real quick.
It is also, like, mid-90s. It's it's a gritty story. It's supposed to be like for a little bit older audience. It was supposed to be for teenagers, essentially. Mm-hmm.
This is real quick.
Well, kids like us saw us.
Real quick.
Saw it, and we were just like, that's cool.
Goliath flies back to the castle, finds some rubble of a gargoyle, stands up in front of the moon with his wings spread out and yells real loud, and it's a very cool shot that I think is in the intro to the show for the rest of time.
Yeah. Doesn't he say, like, my love or something? Oh.
Perhaps, because according to the gargoyles.fandom.com wiki, he has specifically landed on Demona's perch, which is Marina Sirtis' character. She doesn't have a name yet. But he's pretty sure that's her rubble. He's pretty sure.
He calls her by an affectionate name.
It's not her rubble. Because...
No.
I know she's still alive. Because she's in the rest of the series. And so are Michelangelo, Raphael, and Donatello the Gargoyles.
Well, they're down in the rookery, so they weren't seen.
And... Who else is still alive, MC?
The old grizzle guy, because he flew in with Goliath.
And also?
The guard captain.
But there's on the gargoyles.
The female character?
Right, we already said Marina Sirtis. So there's Goliath.
The guard dog is alive as well.
It took so long to try and get you to say garg dog. I was trying to end the episode with you saying garg dog, but it took forever. We'll be back next week with Gargoyles Season 1, Episode 2, which is called Awakening Part 2. I didn't even have to look it up that time.
No.
It's just Awakening Part 2.
Here's a little hint. The third episode's called Awakening Part 3.
And then the fourth episode is called Awakening Part 5, and the fifth episode is called Awakening Part 6. It's very weird. I don't know why they did that. Goodbye!
Really?
No, not really. Why would it be that? What do you mean, really?
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Hello, friends. This is Troidal Power, host of the Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Troidal Power, a podcast where I, your host, Troidal Power, play through games in a powerful way. And I'm inviting you to listen to Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Troidal Power, a podcast where I, your host, Troidal Power, play through games in a powerful way. You can find it and a lot of other weird shows at probablywork.com.